Hello, everyone. How is everyone doing tonight? Hi. I'm doing okay. Hi from Louisiana, Susan. It's good to see you. It has been a fall day here in Tennessee. Our leaves are starting to change. For those of us that love nature, love seeing that, love seeing the colors, the cooler weather, the sweaters, it's all good, right? It's all good. So this is the How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating call. We can talk about emotions. We can talk about feelings. We can talk about connecting what you're thinking to how you feel in your body. We can talk about the nervous system, which is one of my favorite topics. Anything that you want to discuss or be coached on, let's do it. So just raise your hand and we'll get started, okay? So Julie has her hand raised. So I'm gonna call you up, Julie. Are you ready? Oh, good. Someone else raised their hand too. Awesome. We're gonna have some people tonight. All right, Julie, need you to turn on your video. Oh, you had it.
There we
There you
go.
go. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you. I so appreciate this call, Kathy. I can't tell you how much.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. What can I do for you?
Thank you. So I am I'm down 57 pounds and really loving it, loving No BS. I'm a longtime member. And I have been working on nervous system regulation. I had no idea how much of a mess I was, like no clue.
None of us do, right? When we realize what's going on with that nervous system, we're
Right.
like, oh,
Yeah,
that
duh.
explains it.
So my startle effect was like way up here and wound so tight, so tight. Sad how tight I was wound. And a lot of that is falling off of me in layers, just over time. The more I think about it, the more I talk to myself. So some things I've noticed that I need some guidance on going forward. I think I still have a lot of inflammation in my body, regardless of what I'm doing diet-wise.
Okay.
My blood pressure, I'm on two blood pressure medications. I
Okay.
should be down to one by now, given my weight loss. And my doctor is even like, well, we should start weaning off of one. I'm like, not if you look like my numbers, I'm not comfortable weaning off of one yet because of my numbers. I feel like I'm still barely well controlled being on two. And I wonder if maybe some of that isn't nervous system related. And then finally, I am new to the idea of safety, to the idea that I even needed safety. My mom passed away early last year. I just was super close, great mom, blessed with that woman in my life. And I didn't realize that her absence created this big gulf in which I didn't feel safe. I didn't realize that she was part of what was making me feel safe, right? And so years ago, when Corinne started talking about safety, I was like, yeah, I mean, like, not every part of everything is for you, right? And I'm like, no, it's not me. I'm pretty sure I feel, girl, no. I am craving a safety. And I'm also, it's kind of embarrassing. I'm a woman of deep faith, right? And so like my roots, I would like to think run deeper than my need for safety. I know I'm held, right? So and yet I know
Well,
it's there.
here's the thing. You logically know you're held,
Right.
okay, because of your deep faith. But your nervous system may not realize that. Your
Right.
nervous system is always scanning for danger. Okay, it's called the fancy word for this is called interoception.
A
You're all
teraception.
interoception. You're
Interoception.
always scanning for danger. Your nervous system is always on alert. Corinne, you know how Corinne always talks about the pumas and the
Yeah, that
caveman?
saber-toothed tiger outside the cave.
Same. We have not evolved that much further above those people. And that's okay. We want our nervous systems to always scan for danger. Otherwise, we're going to walk into a, something someday
Peril, right.
and not be prepared. Okay. We're going to walk into a puma. So I don't want you to really judge your startle effect or your interoception or your nervous system scan. You want that to happen. Okay. We just need to be able to evaluate it when it does. Is this a real threat? Like, is a guy at the door with a machete or a fire alarm going off or a tornado coming? Or is it a perceived threat? Somebody just dropped something in the kitchen or somebody said something I didn't like. Okay. So that's kind of what we use our logical brain for when we begin to accept the fact that our nervous system is going to activate sometimes. Okay. So don't judge that. Kind of be, I kind of lean in and go, I'm really glad my nervous system is looking out after me. I just sometimes need to go, it's okay, nervous system. This one's not a problem. Okay. Makes sense,
Talk back
right?
to
Yeah. Just like, I mean, it's very similar to when you put your hand on your heart and go, I'm safe.
it.
Nothing wrong here. I can figure this out. It's very similar. If you just go, oh, that was just somebody dropping something in the kitchen. It wasn't, something bad that happened. It's you. That's you just going, I got this nervous system. I understand that you
And
startled,
that
but it's
So that
okay.
makes me emotional. This morning, I was anxious for no perceived reason, right? I was getting ready this morning. I'm a morning person. I was having a great morning, and I'm in the bathroom, and I've got this like wash of anxiety, and I know what it is. I've got a big work project. But it is not life or death. It's not even my career's not even on the line. Like I could drop the ball, and I'm not going to lose my job. I'd be horribly embarrassed and let a lot of people down. But I'm not going to drop the ball. I'm going to finish it. And so that's why I just started, just waving my arms around a little bit, just trying to get some motion in me and just being like, Julie, you're fine. You're fine. Like there is nothing going on out loud in the bathroom this morning at 5 a.m. There is nothing going on. Like actually, you could stand here and count your blessings and be overwhelmed with the goodness in your life, right? Like desperately seeking perspective or something. And it made me, when I started saying the word safe, it made me emotional. Like I was tearing up about it. And I'm like, there's something in me that's desperate for that, I guess.
We're all our nervous systems want us to feel safe. Okay, they're always on alert because they want to ensure our safety. Okay? So that relief that you felt when you said, I'm safe, just brought tears. Okay? And that's okay. Tears are not a bad thing. Tears release oxytocin, which is that feel good ho hormone in your brain, right? So you just comforted yourself in the moment. You probably took a deep breath, right? That always comes when I feel when safe, when I feel safety coming back. And you were like, oh, wait, it's okay. I'm safe. Right? And then the tears came. Inflammation and blood pressure. So it's funny, Christy's here, our resident pharmacist. And I think I'm hoping she would agree with me that I don't want to address that as a nervous system issue. I want you to continue to address that with your physician because whether or not it is, that's something that you need to work with your doctor on, okay? As my weight, and she says yes, definitely, as my weight has gone up and down, as my weight went up, my weight went up around the breast cancer a couple of years ago. And nerves, hormone treatments, all the things. And as my weight has come back down, my blood pressure hasn't. So I don't, and I feel more regulated now than I have my entire life. I'm also going to be 60 in a month. And, my body is aging. It may need some additional pharmaceutical help, if you will. And I'm okay with that because my goal is to be the healthiest I can be, regardless of whatever medicines I need. So I want you to continue to address that with your physician, okay? But as you continue to work on safety, you may notice a difference. All right. So you can bring that to your physician as well. Let's talk about two different kinds of safety. Okay, since you said you didn't know too much about it, you want to hear about them?
Yes, please.
All right. There is empirical safety, which is you're in a safe place right now. Your house is not on fire. There's no tornado coming. You're not in a war-torn country. You are safe in your house right now. I'm safe in my house right now. Okay. There is that empirical environmental safety piece. Then there is the feeling of safety. Okay. And that feeling of safety comes when your nervous system is regulated, you're calm, you're at peace, you're present. You might even be secure, controlled. That's a feeling of safety. Okay. That means your nervous system energy is right where it's supposed to be. It's not too high, it's not too low, it's not going up, it's not going down. It is where you feel your best and you're most secure and safe. Okay. So the goal is not to always feel safe. The goal is to notice when you're leaving home base, when safety is, when your energy levels are rising or falling, and see what you need to do to come back to home base. Okay. Because our nervous systems are not always going to feel safe. They're always scanning for danger. They hear something dropped in the kitchen. They hear a knock at the door, whatever it is, they're going to go on alert. We just need to be able to bring them back toward home base and back towards safety without eating. Okay. So we want those other tools to bring in, whether it's hand on the heart to tell ourselves we're safe, or breathing, or connection, or taking a walk. Or creating some sense of safety for ourselves. Now, you said your mother was your safe place. That's called co-regulation. And it's so interesting that this comes up because I always have something in my back pocket in case nobody raises their hand to teach about. Okay. And I was going to talk a little bit about co-regulation tonight. And here you come with. My mom's gone. She was my safe person. Yeah. So, what happens with co-regulation is have you ever seen, for instance, someone come on this call and they're like on a 10 and they're like, Kathy, I'm so anxious and, I'm so upset and blah, 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 or whatever. And by the end of the call, they've come down and they're closer to home base. They have used this safe place, me as a safe person, to create safety for themselves. Through talking about it, through crying, through thinking, through just being on this Zoom. They have co-regulated with me. I'm going to bet you used to co-regulate with your mom. You'd call her up when you needed somebody to talk to, give her a hug, be in the same place with her. You always felt good, right? A lot of us have that person. Mine would be my husband. Okay. Sometimes people, it's so funny this comes up because I had someone ask me on a private call today, a private coaching call today, what if you don't have someone to co-regulate with? What if you don't have a person? There's other ways to co-regulate. Okay. There's pets. You can co-regulate with your cat or your dog or your stuffed animal. I mean, it's not a pet, but it's something to squeeze and love, right? You can co-regulate. You mentioned your faith. You can co-regulate at church with your higher power, right? You ever walked into church and just sat down and felt instantly at peace?
Always.
That's
Always.
a co-regulation with your higher power. You can co-regulate with nature. I have a client, a private client. Who has a tree in her backyard, she will go and hug when she needs some love. She'll go, she go hugs, goes and hugs a tree. So you can use other things in your life to help regulate you through conversation or thought or touch or that feeling of love. So in the absence of your mom, What do you have in your life to co-regulate with?
I do have a dog, and he's pretty needy, and I love him a lot, so that's good. I've got good people in my life. Like I am blessed with two amazing children that are pretty much grown, and a handful of really quality women in my life. That depending on where I am, some one friend always fits the bill, right? For whatever's going on. I will have to. I will need to figure out, adjust. I'll need to adjust to having multiple wonderful outlets for co-regulation rather than just one that had been there since the beginning.
Okay, I'm going to challenge this just a little bit. You ready? Do you think it's possible to co-regulate with your mom now?
Honestly don't know. I have never like felt mom's presence or like that's I'm
Do you ever talk?
surrounded by her stuff.
Do you ever talk to her?
I do. I do. There's a whole lot of miss you, Mom. Wish you were here. Bet you would have loved that,
I often see my dad or hear my dad in my head. Like, he was a funny man, okay? We always, for some reason, we always ended up watching the Masters together. He loved golf. I didn't care a thing about it, but the Masters came on, and for some reason I was with my dad, and he lived two states away. We were either on the phone or we were together. And I can still hear him when some guy makes a putt that doesn't make the hole, go, "Pick up your skirts, Alice." I can still hear his funny little sayings in my head at certain times. And I think to myself, I just take a moment and I think to myself, well, hey, Dad. And that's my moment of connection with him or with his memory, if you will. So watch for those moments because those are special too. Even though she is not here, she still lives up here in your
Sure, for sure.
mind, right? And you said you have some of her stuff around you.
It's everywhere. I drink out of her canning jars now. Like she is everywhere. So,
That is actually, an adapted form of connection with her, if you think about it. Okay. She might not be physically there to respond, but you still have her in your mind, her memories, her sayings, her canning jars.
Okay. That is good stuff. I have stuff to work on. Thank you, Kathy.
Is that all? I can't leave you crying now. You're gonna be okay.
No, I'm great. No, I'm fine. Crying, like you said, crying isn't bad, right?
No,
So,
no, no. Well, if it is, somebody tell Corinne it's bad, right? No, it's not bad at all. In fact, it's I believe it's a necessary release sometimes. Sometimes it's actually an emotional release that helps us feel better. And look it up. Oxytocin gets released when you cry. It is
Right.
that's
And
good
I
for
don't
you.
mind crying over mom. It's a privilege. I had one good parent and one very destructive parent. And so I know people that didn't have any good parents at all. And so I recognize how very blessed I am to have had her. And so I don't mind crying over her at all.
Good.
So,
All right.
thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Good
You're welcome. Thank you.
night.
See ya. All right. That was awesome. I don't know how to say this name. It's CAEBERSBAC. I suspect it's a bunch of initials, but that's who's next. Are you ready for me? Calling you up. Then we'll figure out what your name is. Are you coming? Video and audio.
Can you hear me, Coach Kathy?
I can hear you. I can't
I'm
see
trying
you.
to get my video. Oh, there it is. Is my video up now? Can you see
Oh,
me?
it says no, it shows your camera. It shows a camera. It doesn't show you, but this is okay. We can just talk. Tell me your name.
My name is Cindy. I'm sorry, I'm
Cindy.
using my work computer, so that is why that's my
Yeah.
username on
Okay.
my work computer.
All right. So tell me what's up, Cindy.
Well, today I had an it's something I do often. I shouldn't say often. It's something that I do at times. I at work today, I work from home. I did not take a break.
Okay.
I could have taken a break, but what I wanted to do was just sit and watch television, which in my mind, I knew that there's things to be done. I should go to the gym, there's things I should do, and I did not want to do those. So instead of just sitting and watching television, I just chose not to take a break today. Then in turn, after my afternoon meetings, I ended up just overeating. Just sitting at my desk eating embarrassing amounts of food.
Okay.
I told myself that I could do it today because I knew you were having your call today. And I thought, well, if you can do it, if you promise you're gonna go speak to Coach Kathy. So here I
Awesome.
am.
Well, okay, so tell me first why you didn't allow yourself a break.
Probably because I felt like I should go to the gym and work out
Okay.
or do something around the house.
Okay.
And so instead of just sitting and watching television and being unproductive, I just chose to work through my lunch.
Okay. So the break would have been the watching TV part.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And what's wrong with that? Instead of being instead what's wrong with taking a break and watching TV while you eat lunch versus going to the gym or doing something else?
I guess it's just my feeling of I have to be doing something. Like
Okay.
I should be doing something.
All right. So you're, is this every day or just today?
It was just today. It's every so often, maybe
Okay.
once a week.
What made today different?
Because I told myself I was going to go either clean my house during my lunch or go to the gym. And so I didn't want to. So it was like I was avoiding what I felt like I should be doing.
Okay. If you had said at lunchtime today, I'm either going to go to the gym or clean the house or watch TV while I eat, would that have given you permission to watch TV or would you have still judged it as wrong?
I'm going to say I probably would have still judged it.
Why is it wrong to watch TV while you eat? Just from a theoretical standpoint.
Just because I view
Because I need
myself
to
then
know
as
this
being
because I do this every day at lunchtime.
I view myself as being lazy, like there's something else that I should be doing.
Okay. So that's the problem is not the watching TV. The problem is that you view yourself because you're lazy. View yourself as lazy. Okay.
Correct.
Do you view me as lazy? Because I do
Not at
that.
all.
Every day at lunchtime, I will get my lunch and sit down in the living room, and Ken will say, "What would you like to watch?" Today, it happened to be the news, which wasn't my first choice, but you know,
Right.
when I say, "Whatever you want, honey," that's what comes up. Okay.
Right. No,
So,
absolutely not.
why
I
am I
would say
not
that's
lazy?
great for you.
Why am I not lazy and you are?
Probably because I know then that I will not do those things after work. So like I totally do
Girl,
not do them.
I am not cleaning the house tonight, and I am not going to the gym tonight because you know why? Because I know myself, and I don't expect that when I'm tired or have a big project to work or a late call, I'm not even cooking dinner. I've already told my husband what he's fixing me. Okay,
Right, okay.
so I think the difference between you and me is that I don't call myself lazy if I decide I need rest. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I didn't used to, because I'm sure I have in the past. But the point is, I'm learning that I need rest in order to be my best when I need to be my best. Okay, which is usually at work these days, because that's I don't want to say it's my number one, but that's when I need to be my best most
Well,
often at work.
I am as well. And today was a very my a lot of brain power was used this morning. And so I knew I needed the break, but I didn't take the break, and then I ended up,
So tell me this, how did you know you needed the break? Were
Because
you
I
getting?
was felt distracted. I could tell myself my distraction. I could tell my I was searching for the easier things to do, like what can I do to fill these 15 minutes or something like that, instead of getting into another like deep thinking project.
So you could actually tell that your brain was getting tired. I bet your body was getting tired too. And your posture might have been a little bit low. You were like, you're probably just like, will this will lunchtime hurry up and get here? So when you're in that space and you notice that about yourself, how can you actually just say, I see I need rest now? How can you, is there a way, is it possible for you to go, you know, if I'm going to show up this afternoon, I probably do need to rest, and maybe that's okay. Do you ever do that? Do you ever think that?
No, but hearing you say it, it's like, okay, well, Kathy gives me permission to do this, and it's okay when I guess it's because I'm too hard. Like I'm a perfectionist and too hard on myself. And when someone else says it's okay, go take your break, then I'm okay with it.
So my permission is not what you need. You need your own permission.
I know, I know.
Okay. All right. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to wrap a little science around it, okay? And this is something I learned from Chris Crabtree, who is easily one of the most biggest genius people I know, okay? Corinne's husband. Your thinking brain can only work, can only be in focus mode in deep work for a certain amount of time. And everybody's amount of time is a little bit different. Some people it's 35 minutes, some people it's 55 minutes, something like that, before it begins to get distracted, before it begins to get tired. Okay. But it only takes 5 or 10 or 15 minutes to recharge that thinking part of your brain. So if you're trying to go for 3 or 4 hours at one time, that time past when your brain can tolerate deep work is not efficient work time. You're looking for the easy stuff. You're distracted, right? You're thinking about something else.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you give yourself that break and you recharge, guess what happens to the rest of that time? A 10-minute break can recharge you for another, 35, 55, whatever your deep work tolerance is of time. And so
Makes
over
sense.
time, if you take breaks, you actually create a higher level of efficiency.
Makes sense. And I think I remember Corinne talking about that, where he takes a small break every, like almost every hour. And
I think his is an hourly break. Yeah, I do. I think you're right. I think he's like a 50 or 55 minute person with a 5 or 10 minute break. He actually uses an app to time himself, which is extraordinary to me. But
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with that.
I think I just kind of watch my own tolerance for work, like you did. If
Yeah,
I'm
I
an
can
ex coach
tell.
and I'm digging around looking for the easiest one to answer, I know it's time for a break. Because let me tell you, let's just be honest, there's not a lot of easy ass coaches to answer.
No, I'm
So
sure not. Absolutely.
if I want to show up as the best coach I can be and ask them the most impactful questions, I have to give myself breaks because my brain gets tired. I do a lot of cognitive work all day long.
Yes.
Okay. So when you notice that, it is your responsibility to give yourself breaks. That becomes as important as cleaning the house or going to the gym, or maybe even more important than either of those if work is your number one.
Right, very true. Okay, thank you. That helps. That helps a lot. I appreciate it very much.
All right, I'm not done with you yet.
Okay.
Hang on. Mary, the app Chris uses is called Pomodoro, I believe. I believe it's called Pomodoro. Are there other areas in your life where you call yourself lazy, or is that the only one?
Oh, almost any time. Anytime I'm sitting down watching television or something, usually I'm calling myself lazy.
Okay. And how does it feel in your body to label yourself as lazy?
I feel like I'm beating myself up.
Yeah. So is that a habit or is that a truth to you that you're lazy? Is it a habit thought or is it a truth?
Well, it's a habit thought, but it's how I perceive myself. Because
Okay.
I think I do that because, like, growing up, like, my mom never sat down. She always, she was like the Energizer Bunny. And I guess I use her as my example because the only time, now my logical brain tells me that I know she was exhausted and she knew if she sat down, she would fall asleep. So that's what my logical brain tells myself. But I still feel like for myself that I'm lazy because I'm not, because I do take those, I do sit down and watch television. I do rest like at night and stuff like that. I don't always do what I should do or what I have on my to-do list, I should say.
Okay, so is there space for you between working to the point of exhaustion and lazy?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I would say, if I do, some things around the house at night or cook supper or do dishes or do laundry, one or two tasks or something like that, then I feel fine.
Okay. What if you are like really tired? I mean, it's been a day. You're Coach Kathy, you've had 16 calls and been on a membership call at night, okay? And you've done 45 Ask Coaches. You've had a lot of cognitive load. Do you still think you need to go make sure the dishes are done and living room's picked up before you go to bed?
No, not so much. No.
Why not?
Because my brain's tired and I just have no energy, I guess, to do those tasks.
Does that make you lazy or does that make you tired?
In that instance, I would feel like I was tired.
So to me, lazy indicates intent. Okay. I just don't feel like it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to lay here. I don't care. But when your brain and your body are fatigued, we could even, let's do this. Let's do this, Cindy. I'm going to ask the Googles to define lazy for me.
Okay.
Okay. Unwilling to work or use energy. Unwilling. Not unable. Unwilling. Right? That's intent.
Right.
So when you're calling yourself lazy, it becomes personal, like you are unwilling to get up off that couch. It does not take into effect whether or not you have the energy to do work
Right.
or the capacity, the emotional, physical capacity to do work.
Right. Okay.
What do you
Makes
think?
sense. Yeah, makes sense. And I think too, a lot of mine, I guess sometimes it's not physical tired, it's mental tired because of the stress level of my job. And I don't give myself like a break for mental tired versus physically tired.
And I would offer you that mental tired can create physical tired if you think about it.
Yes, very
Right?
much
When
so. Yes.
I go downstairs at night after a long day of coaching, I sit in that chair and I you know, it does not I can't even make a decision.
Right.
You know, I'm like, Ken says, "What do you want to watch on TV?" I'm like,
I don't know. Right, exactly. Right.
Right?
Right. 100%.
But I don't call myself lazy because of it. I just say, "Wow, I used a lot of energy today." That feels so much kinder to me.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And the kinder you are to yourself, we're going to go back to safety for a minute, the more safety you create in your nervous system. Because one of the things I taught when I did the nervous system group last year was that you can create an unsafe place in your mind by how you talk to yourself. So if you are beating yourself up all the time, if you're calling yourself lazy, if you're telling yourself you're no good, or you're never going to be good enough, or anything like that, your body feels that. Your brain hears it. It creates tension. It dysregulates your nervous system.
Okay.
But when
Makes
you go
sense.
downstairs and you say, "Whoo, it's been a morning. Best thing I can do for myself to show up for the afternoon is to rest and give myself a little TV time, a little good food, and then go back to work." That's
Right.
mind. That's not lazy.
That's very true. Okay.
Okay.
Makes sense. That's some different points of view. Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate it
You're
very
welcome.
much.
Thanks for
This was
sticking
my
with
first
me.
time being coached.
Well, you did good, and thanks for sticking with me on the whole lazy thing, because I think we very often, and you all can, give me a thumbs up if you ever do this. Sometimes the little subtle beatdowns, really, we're talking to ourselves in little subtle ways that we don't think cause, any feel bad inside, but they do. Those little subtle ways we talk to ourselves. Yeah. It happens.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
So
you.
give yourself the gift of rest when you need it. It creates efficiency. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Joan Carroll, you're next. And she's the only other one with her hand raised. So if there's anybody else who wants to talk to me tonight, let's do it. Here comes Joan. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Kathy?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. Wanted to get on here and just talk about something that came up for me when we when I did the workshop on Sunday.
Okay.
And I was just working on one of the worksheets, but and I have a thing for binging on sugar. And I have done that since I was a child, and now as I've gotten older, I'm having health effects from eating too much sugar. So that's been something that I've really been working on and not really being able to make any kind of headway with. Just
Okay.
seems like every time, that things start to get rough, something sweet is going to just, take care of it. I know intellectually that's not going to happen,
No,
but I just.
I'm gonna offer to you that it does make you feel better. It just has
Well,
the
it does,
unintended consequence. Okay.
yes.
I don't want anybody to hear, I don't want anybody to think that Kathy says eating doesn't make you feel better, because it's not true.
That is true. That
Okay.
is true. Yes, and
It's just
I agree with that.
Probably not the go-to, right?
Yes,
Okay.
yes. So
Okay.
while we were doing one of the worksheets,
Mm-hmm.
and I was kind of focusing on sugar, and can I incorporate it into my plan, or is it something that I should just try to live without? And this very deep thought came of I can never have what I want.
Okay.
And oh, it was deep.
Okay.
It was just followed with a lot of feelings of such deep disappointment and regret, and realizing, how choices I've made in my life that have, based on that thought about myself, and how I parented my own child based on that thought about myself. So I've been journaling on it and just doing like some inner child work. And it does it, what comes up is the whole safety and protection, and not really feeling like I have my own back. And so, based on the journal, and I've done some really good journaling with this, and yet I know that that thought is still going to come up. And the funny thing is, I'll have these great insights, and then I'm always surprised when the thought comes back, and it's like, oh, I thought I was cured, kind of thing. And so
Yeah. All right. So let's
I
play
want a
with that
game
thought a little
plan.
bit.
Yeah,
Yeah, let's
okay.
play with that thought a little bit. Does it go back to childhood? I'll never have what I want.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
Oh, I'm 66.
66.
Yes.
Do you believe that thought today that you'll never have what you want? Or
Oh,
there's
no.
okay.
No.
So this is good, right? Because
Yeah.
we might, I mean, I want $1 million. I might not
Yeah.
get everything I want, but I do have
Yeah.
things that I want. Okay. So I can kind of wiggle that thought a little bit. And it sounds like you can too, which is important. So you said you've done some inner child work. Do you mind if I poke on that a little bit?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. So tell me about how old you were when you first started noticing this thought, I could never have what I want.
I was about six.
About six. And is that when you started filling the gaps with sugary foods?
Yes,
Okay.
more. Yeah, more than I did before that.
So is it okay to call her 6-year-old Joan?
Yeah, I call her Little Joan, or
Little Joan.
Lily J is kind of my name for
Lily
her.
J. Beautiful. Beautiful. So Lily J. She was disappointed. She felt like she could never have what she wanted. She was 6 years old. Can we kind of hold her a little compassion for her? Because she's, bless her, she's 6 years old. She's trying to figure it out, right? And she's filling the gaps with sweet things to eat, right? If you could talk to her right now, picture her in your mind. If you could talk to her right now about being 66 years old and having a few things that you want, what would you tell her?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell her was she did a really good job at surviving, because that was a big part of childhood, was surviving, and that saved her life, and that I'm very proud of her for that, and that it, in some ways, I developed this personality that got me a lot of what I wanted, but still, based on that inner thought, I never really accepted that. Maybe I thought, oh well, I was just lucky that that happened, and that it didn't have anything to do with me. So I would tell her, yes, I would love her for the things that she did to make it through. For sure. And remind her that, look at my life now, and I do have, I mean, I've pretty much have had a lot of what I want. And again, though, I just haven't given myself the credit, I guess, for making it happen. It's always been, oh, it's just luck of the draw or whatever.
From Lily J, 6-year-old Joan. Tell me what you did over time that made it happen, that gave you some of the things that you want. Tell me how this developed through life.
Well, a lot of it was, I became a queen at people pleasing. Developed a very charming, outgoing, happy. I was always happy. And inner, I mean, I'm a naturally happy person, but there was all this other stuff that covered it up. But and I definitely used that to my ability. Professionally, oh, go
So
ahead.
let's just pause there for a minute.
Okay.
What you became was someone who was able to manipulate.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And that skill as a child, girl, how many kids do we know manipulate their parents,
Oh,
the adults, right?
lots.
I mean, seriously, okay? So that skill that you developed as a child, kind of helped you gain what you needed in the moment, whether it was through people pleasing or whatever it was. Okay.
Yes,
So
yeah.
we're not going to call that a bad thing. We're just going to call that this is how you developed. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, keep going. You start to talk about work,
Oh,
right?
work-wise, yes. And I followed my path of what I knew that I was going to be a nurse from the time I was 10 years old. So I followed that path and I had a very successful career. Again, had jobs that I, really loved, got promoted, did things like that. And that was all good. Relationship-wise, I've worked towards, improving myself and cleaning up my a lot of the past so that I can have good, healthy relationships. And I do have that. But it's still just this, I hear people talk about like imposter syndrome sort of thing is, again, it's sort of, but did I really deserve that because I can't have what I want? I don't know.
So if we were to just poof, I wave my white magic wand, you'll never have that thought again. Does that solve the imposter syndrome? Okay. Poof. What if we say that Lily J is still a part of you? Because she is,
She
if
is.
you think about it. She is part of what created Joan today.
Yes.
And every now and then she gets nervous and she taps on you just a little bit and she says, "Are we okay? Because I'm thinking I can never have what I want." Right? What if she's just tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Joan, big Joan, are we okay? Because I'm thinking I'm a little nervous again that I can't have what I want." What would you say to her now?
Well, and that's part of what I'm working on right now is feeling strong enough to be able to say to her, I've got this. You are safe. I will protect you.
How about we just practice?
Okay.
Put your hand on your heart, both of them if you want. I like both. And we just go, it's okay. I've got this. Right? I know you're scared. Of course you were scared. I know you use sugar. It's okay that you did. But we've got this now. We are 60 years past what you were going through. I've done all these things. It's okay that you think I can never have what I want, but I'm going to show you that we can have some things that you want. Okay? Because you
Yeah.
don't want that piece of you to go away. You don't want that part of you to go away.
No.
You want to love her because she helped create this amazing human that you are now. But when that thought comes up, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It just means that the past is tapping on the present.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's all it means. It's just like when I was talking about my dad, you know, when I hear his voice, his sayings in my head, past is just tapping on the present. And I don't want the past to go away. I don't want the memories to go away because he's who helped create me. Okay. So when you have that thought, it's important for you to address it in the moment. Not, don't say, I don't want it to go, I want it to go away. Say, I hear you. I recognize what you're saying, but we've got this now. Okay. And see if that, if creating a little safety when you hear the thought and when you think about her and how you love her and can talk, that story, you need to go back and write down that story you told me at the very beginning when I said, what would you tell her now? You need to put that in your journal, girl, because that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. That's what you need to tell her every time she taps on you and says, I can never have what I want. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
And I bet if you do that and you remind yourself of the person you are now, you're able to manage the urges for the sugar in an easier way. Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree.
As I
Wow.
said.
That feels good. Feels doable for sure. All
Okay.
right. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for bringing that because I don't know if you, well, you might not be able to see the chat, but there's several people in there going, oh, wow, that's me. Oh, wow, that's me.
Oh, well, good.
Oh. You
That's great.
showing up and being on this call is going to help a lot of people
All
tonight.
right,
Thank
well,
you.
that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Take
Bye
care.
bye.
Bye. Okay, I got some Q&As. So let's do it. Anonymous says, I feel like I'm just going through the motions, not thriving. My son is a freshman in college, away. My husband has cancer. I have a first grader, and I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I'm not planning. I'm not keeping up with my home. I work full time, and am noticing clutter around my home. I feel tired, and my days off, I try to catch up on errands. I feel like I'm always trying to catch up. I feel like I'm behind. How can I shift? Well, Anonymous, wow. I can see why you're overwhelmed, and I just want to give that to you, okay? You have a lot going on. The thing to do with overwhelm is one small motion at a time. What overwhelm does, Anonymous, is it makes everything seem it has the same level of urgency. And that's not necessarily true. So when you think about all of the things that you feel like you should be doing, what I want you to do is go through that list in your mind and say, this absolutely has to be done today. Or this can wait until later in the week. Or I'm just going to put that off for a while. For instance, Halloween decorations. Does it really matter if they're up till Christmas? Or do you need to feed that first grader tonight? Or do you need to see to your husband's treatment? Okay. So think about it in those terms. What are the most important things, and how can you do one small step? Okay. And I'm going to tell you one more thing, Anonymous. You caring for yourself is really important right now. It's like I was talking to Cindy about you getting your rest, you getting your nourishment is going to be super important so that you can be who you need to be in these other situations. Okay. Now, if that doesn't help, come in to ask coaches and we'll talk some more. Okay. Jackie says, on this thought, is the want to have always negative, selfish, unworthy? Is the want to have always negative, selfish, unworthy? Even if we have a good life and have so many wants, I resonate so much with what Joan has said. Let me think about this. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Is the want to have always negative, selfish, and unworthy? I guess I can't wrap my arms around that because my thought is no. Wanting to have things isn't negative. It isn't selfish. But I'm curious about the unworthy piece. I've always been taught that we are infinitely worthy. We are infinitely lovable. The problem comes in how we talk to ourselves. We damage that self-worth. And then when we damage that self-worth, we automatically tell ourselves you don't deserve something. So, Jackie, if you believe, if you can even conceive that you are worthy of, weight loss, friends, relationships, well-being, then it is never selfish to want things or to, want more for yourself. That's why you're here, right? You're here in no BS to learn how to live a better life, to lose weight, to get emotional clarity. So I don't think it's my opinion that you're not unworthy of any of that, that none of us is unworthy. Unworthy is it feels when I think of unworthy, when I think of feeling unworthy, I feel like the lowest of the low. And that's not who I want to be, and that's not how I want to think about myself. Okay, because if I think of myself as worthy, then I care for myself. I nourish my body. I sleep when I need to sleep. Right? Those are the I make sure I meet my basic human needs. So I'm hoping that I'm answering your question because that's what really stuck out at me. So let me know if that doesn't answer your question, okay? I'll watch the chat and the Q&A. It does. Okay, good. Christy, can you talk about when it is best to use top-down brain or thinking approach versus bottom-up body or physical? Both help me get back to home base. It seems like when I'm below home base, top-down is not always as available to me. I'm not available to get coached live at the moment. Okay, that's fine. Top down, she's talking about using your brain, your thoughts, to make you feel better in your body. Bottom up would be a somatic approach, like breathing or stretching or something in the body that helps the body feel better, that then sends a signal back up to your brain that things were okay. So, what I would say to you, Christy, is when it comes to how you need to regulate, it's going to depend on a couple of things. The first is what's causing the dysregulation. And the second is what's natural for you. So I'll talk about first what's causing the dysregulation. When I use anxiety, yeah, everybody can identify with anxiety, right? I can feel anxious, kind of like the first person that we talked to. Jackie, I can feel anxious and not know why, and have to think about why am I feeling anxious right now? It can just be a feeling that comes into my body. Sometimes it's created by something that's happened around me, by like a fire alarm or somebody dropping something in the kitchen. Sometimes it's just there. Okay. I can also feel anxious based on what I'm thinking. All right. So there's two approaches to that. One is a somatic approach. Something happens in the environment, my body senses danger, boom, anxious, right? But there's also the thought approach. I'm thinking something, therefore I become anxious because of what I'm thinking. So if you know where the anxiety is coming from, it might be easier to solve for it. So when you are below home base, which would mean tired, sad, hopeless, anything that is a low energy kind of feeling, you would identify the feeling and then determine how to raise yourself up above home base. So I'll tell you, almost every night I go below home base because I'm tired. All right. I'm not going to think my way out of that. I'm going to go to bed. Okay. But if I'm below home base because I'm sad or I'm grieving, I might not want to think my way out of it. I might want to just comfort myself, wrap up in a blanket, put on my favorite PJs, talk to a friend. Okay, I might want to take a more body-centric approach to that. Does that help? Does that make sense? It's probably my normal not to be able to think when I'm below home base. Yeah. It could be too. We were talking about with Cindy and rest. Could be that your brain's like, no, conscious brain, I'm offline. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. So, decision making becomes hard because you're tired. Conscious thinking becomes hard. Planning becomes hard. Just done, right? Oh, that's okay. It's normal. So maybe when you're feeling like that and you're a little bit below home base, it's more of a comfort thing. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a favorite blanket downstairs. It's one of those soft, it's not fleece. I don't even know what it's made of, but it's very soft. I wrap myself up in that thing all the way up to here most nights. And I feel amazing. Sometimes I will get some sort of hot, I'm not a big tea person, but maybe some decaf coffee. And I'll just hold the mug in my hands because the warmth is so comforting to me. Those are the kinds of things I do when I'm tired at night or below home base. And they either make me feel better or I go to bed and I wake up better. Sometimes what your body is needing is just the rest. Okay. This is Cindy. Listening to your response to Christy makes sense because I could feel the anxiety in my body when I was avoiding resting during lunch day. Yeah. Could be that your body was going, tap, 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 Cindy. What are we doing? Right? It's very interesting when you think about how the feelings in our body can send signals back up to our brains for our brains to interpret. It's just like hunger and enough, y'all. That's what's happening. You get a feeling in your body that your body sends up to your brain and says, I think it's time to eat. What if your body tells you other things, like when it's time to rest, or when it's time to take a break, or when it's time to get excited, right? Our bodies are smart, y'all. They're really, really smart. And the more we can tap into the wisdom of our bodies and assess it with our brains, better life becomes. So how's that? We good? Everybody get what they needed? Our bodies are amazing in so many ways. Yes, they are. All right. Oh, there's another question. Where could I learn more about the home-based concept? Right here, Jennifer. This is where it lives. This is where it lives. I teach it on most of these calls. I teach about home base. I teach about the nervous system ladder above home base, below home base. Has to do with energy, the energy in your body. If you want a book to read, I can recommend Deb Dana's book called Anchored. Anchored is a it's an amazing, it's like a metaphor for anchoring in safety. Her terminology is a little bit different than what we use here, but it's roughly the same. There's also a very an abbreviated nervous system lesson in the Trusting Your Body course. And you can look for it there too. Is there anything else anchored by Deb Dennett? Yeah, is there anything else that y'all can think of in the membership other than these calls that's specific to, I can't think of anything else. Deb Dana, DEBDANA. I think it's actually on Corinne's Faves page. I think I had her put it up there because it's the book that I've read that most kind of most translates to how I teach it here. Okay. Jennifer, if that's not enough, hit me up and ask coaches. Okay. All right. Anybody have anything, any other questions tonight? All right. Oh, you know what, Jennifer? At the beginning of the emotional eating reset, I did a call that explained the nervous system ladder. That's where you'll find it. Emotional eating reset. Go on the website under courses, emotional eating reset. The very first, I hope it's in there. It's like June 4th. Either search emotional eating reset or search in the video replays for the first part of June. That's where you can find it. Okay. All right, y'all. Thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for being here. If you need anything at all, hit me up and ask coaches. Tag me in the Facebook group. I got you. All right. Take care. Good night.